Whew, I don't know about you guys. Are you feeling it's Monday today? Whew. But it was a good weekend, wasn't it? Good homecoming weekend. Friday, we had the hoedown. Anybody do that one? Still got a little life in ya. There was the President's Ball on Saturday. That was good. Okay, that is like the hoedown. All right. Tons of stuff going on with all the athletic events that were happening. Delphi's 100-year reunion. There you go. Woo. All right. There was other Greek organizational and all kinds of other reunions going on. A full weekend on campus, but it's Monday. It is Monday. But there's good stuff still going on campus. Tonight, there's two events that I want to highlight real quick. Tonight at 7:30, there is the Eastern Orthodox Christianity 101, hosted by the student group on campus. 7:30 tonight, Dimnit Chapel, room 11. Why is Orthodox Christianity important, and why does it matter? If you want to come, 7:30 tonight. The second thing happening tonight at 7:30 is the A.J. Musty Lecture Series. This is something that has happened every year, and our speaker this year is Adam Erickson. Adam comes to us from Chicago. He is the director of the Raven Foundation. Adam, come on out. This is Adam. Give Adam a little loving here on a Monday morning.
Hi.
Adam was loving Hope College in all the colors. He's never been to Michigan before. So he was digging on the colors. Everybody was. Janet last night, Adam today. Plus, Adam brought his camera. Adam, do you have your camera still?
Yes, I have my camera.
Okay, he's been taking pictures because he thinks this is a really cool thing. So Adam, get in the picture, man. Everybody wave. Adam, just turn around.
Yeah, right here. Here we go. Okay.
Okay, everybody wave now. Adam didn't know this was happening. In fact, give a wave. Okay, cool. One, two. Give him some loving. Yeah. Beautiful.
Awesome. Man, nobody at home is going to believe me that 1,200 college students come to chapel. This is going to be awesome.
It is a wonderful thing. So with that, I'm not going to take any more of Adam's time. Let me pray. Let's pray together for Adam. Lord, thank you for bringing him, Adam, to this place at a time like this. Lord, speak to us through this good brother. Give us ears to hear and hearts to live it out. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, Adam, one more time.
God be with you. This is really amazing. Big crowds tend to scare me, but Trig promised me that you would all be my friends, so I'm expecting my Facebook friend status to jump up by about 1,200 by tomorrow. Man. This really is amazing. When I preach back at home, it's usually to about 60 people, and there are 1,200 of you. This is crazy. God is certainly doing something here at Hope College, and whoop it up for God. Yeah, whoop it up. This is amazing. I came here last night just so that I get a sense of what's going on, and I'm still in some awe. As Paul mentioned, I'm giving the Musty lecture on nonviolence tonight, and I didn't know that there was going to be a lecture on Eastern Orthodoxy. I think I might go to that instead. That's some fascinating stuff. But in fact, I'll be talking about Islam and nonviolence, but this morning, we are going to party it up with Jesus, because Jesus invites everybody to the party, and thank you for being here. And we're going to party like Jesus partied. So, and that's by inviting everybody in. And it's just amazing to have you all here. So, the HollandSentinel.com advertised the lecture tonight on Islam and nonviolence. And it was a nice little article. And as I scrolled down the page, there were two comments. One was from Mornin' Joe, who commented, "Whoa, that's with two O's and three A's." And Mornin' Joe said, "I bet you will not see a lot of Tea Party or Hollanders here." And apparently the topic of Islam and nonviolence is controversial in Holland. I don't know. The second comment was very nice. It was by Earthbob. And Earthbob said, "The Raven Foundation website is fascinating, and I'm looking forward to your talk, Adam." That was very nice. Made me smile. So I began to wonder, with this such a controversial topic tonight, should I make it easy for us this morning or go with some controversy? Well, I prayed about it. And then I got some conversations with some friends, and they said, just keep the theme going. So we're going to go with nonviolence this morning, and we're going to connect it with the apocalypse. Why not? Yeah, because that's how we roll, right? But first, I want to invite you to join me in prayer. God of love and life, we thank you for bringing us together this morning, and we ask that you open our minds and our hearts to whatever is good and whatever is true, to whatever might come from you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I see we're already at 10:44, so I'm going to try to make this quick. Hear the words from the Apocalypse to John, also known by its Latin name, Revelation, chapters 5, verses 5 through 8. "Then one of the elders said to me," to John, "do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and looked, and the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated at the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb." Now, in our American cultural imagination, whenever we hear the word apocalypse, we instantly think of violence and destruction that is brought by the wrath of the Almighty God in order to bring about the peaceful kingdom of heaven. You see this everywhere in our culture. It's even in Disney movies. Trust me, I've been watching The Little Mermaid with my 3-year-old and my 2-year-old for the last 6 weeks. This infects American culture, and it even infects American Christianity. If you just kill the bad guy, we're going to have peace. This myth infects every one of us. It even infects me, but it did not infect our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the word apocalypse does not mean violence. It means unveiling or a revealing. And the letter of John of Patmos that he wrote to the seven churches is trying to reveal something about the fundamental character of God. And there was a mysterious scroll, and no one could open it. No one was found worthy in heaven or on earth. And our text tells us that not even the elders who were praying around God forever could open it. They were not even worthy. And I want to suggest to you that the reason for that is this. It is because we are all under the spell, the myth of redemptive violence. Walter Wink is the famous theologian and biblical scholar who really first talks about the myth of redemptive violence, and that is basically this: if you just kill the bad guy, then we'll have peace. And the elder says, "Look, and you will see the Lion." John looks, and what does he see? The Lamb that has been slaughtered. God is not primarily identified with a conquering lion who is out to fulfill this divine wrath. God is seen in a lamb, not just a lamb, but a lamb that has been slaughtered. The apocalypse doesn't give us the myth of redemptive violence, but a lamb that has been slaughtered. And this is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does. Flips everything that we thought we knew about God upside down and inside out, and we can no longer believe in the myth. But we must follow in the way of the slaughtered lamb. Now, chapter 12 talks about this battle with the devil that the followers of the Lamb have. And it says this: "For the followers of the Lamb have conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not cling to life, not even in the face of death. The followers of the Lamb, hear this, are not passive. No, they go out and they conquer, but they conquer in the way that the slaughtered lamb conquered. And that is not through swords, not through guns, not through bombs, but by becoming vulnerable. Their only weapon is the word of their testimony. And we see this even in chapter 19, when Jesus comes back on a horse to conquer with the sword, but the apocalypse is quick to tell us that the sword comes from his mouth. This is symbolic language. As the letter to the Hebrews says, the word of God is like a double-edged sword, and one is reminded of Jesus when he's talking in Matthew that I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. Indeed, Jesus brings the sword, and it is the word of God that cuts through our false justifications for violence. This sword causes division between people. For a world that is fueled by the myth of redemptive violence will reject those who follow the love and nonviolence of the slaughtered lamb. But without the testimony of the slaughtered lamb, the world is lost. The world is lost to the myth of redemptive violence. And the apocalypse invites the followers of the lamb to be the alternative to this myth. That the alternative is love and nonviolence. At the end of the apocalypse, we find the New Jerusalem, where the trees have leaves, and it's not for the destruction of the world, but for the healing of the nations. And this is what we are being called into. Indeed, now more than ever, the world needs young, smart, and imaginative young people such as yourselves to choose the way of the Lamb. The world needs you to live into the gospel truth of God's love that embraces all things, including those we call our enemies. This is hard, and I admit that I continually fail at following the Lamb who was slaughtered, but the good news is that it is not up to us. For where we fail, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has already succeeded. So may you follow the Lamb in leading the world away from the myth of redemptive violence and into the healing of the nations through God's love and nonviolence. And may you rest assured in God's radical and eternal love for you and indeed for all of creation. Now I invite you to stand. And we will end with the benediction taught to us by our ancestors, Moses, Aaron and Miriam, please place your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. And if you know it, that's a bit more awkward than I thought, but you got it. You got it. Now, if you know it, join with me. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. This day and forevermore. Amen.